We would like to welcome all of you to the first Transformation Teleconference entitled Popular Diet Fads and the Importance of Enzyme Therapy. Please note that this conference is being recorded and will be available for purchase from Transformation Enzyme Corporation in the near future. Today's teleconference will begin with Dr. Dickie Fuller-Looney. Dickie holds a Ph.D. in Nutrition and Health Sciences and is the founder and president of Transformation Enzyme Corporation. Transformation was founded on her belief that everyone is entitled to the healthiest and most vital lifestyle they are capable of obtaining. With over 2 decades of clinical experience specializing in enzyme therapy and nutrition, she is actively involved in researching the health benefits of enzyme supplementation and sees the effects of diet fads on a daily basis.
Hi, this is Dr. Dickie Fuller-Looney, and I want to thank you for being with us in our first teleconference. This teleconference is about the popular diet fads, and I know this is something we've heard a great deal about, and the importance of enzyme therapy. Well, you know, lately it seems that most of the calls that we get in our technical department has to do with the newest diet crazes that's sweeping the country. When you think about it, it's from McDonald's to Burger King, everybody's in on this, medical clinics, and these diet fads are being exploited, and each one being touted as the absolute best one for you. But when you think about the fact that just recently our ex-president of the United States went on a diet program that was supposed to not only help him lose weight and become healthy, but he added exercise, which is a positive addition to any lifestyle. Now, he lost weight. He felt great, and you know, he really did look good, but then he's went to the hospital just recently for a bypass surgery. He had ignored taking his prescription drug to keep his cholesterol in check because he thought he was doing so good, but his diet happened to be one high in fats. He really did know his risk, and so it was an uneducated mistake. But the problem is it's one of many that's being made today because of these diets. And just recently as well, McDonald's has come out with a new salad. Now, it's being touted as the answer for their diet-conscious patrons, but they failed to mention that it has 1.5 times the fat content than that of their Big Mac. And you know what's being also touted is this Super Size Me movie, and it actually has awakened many people to the dangers of the fast food. And it has totally amazed the doctors that monitored this poor man's rapid decline of his health. So, you know, there's a lot of information out there, but how do you know which one is the one for you? In fact, just recently I got an email, and it begged me to buy pink and white M&Ms, and this is to fight breast cancer. Basically, the research is being given 50 cents for every bag of M&Ms that are sold. And, you know, forget the fact that candies would not be the best choice for someone that had breast cancer or anybody that wanted good health. I just recently got back from overseas, and, you know, I noticed their newspapers look just like ours because they're filled with the same questions that we're trying to answer here. You know, we're known here in the United States, and I'm sure you're aware, as the fattest country in the world. But the imbalances that we saw and disorders in Europe wasn't much different than what we face here. And the problem here in the United States is that 1 out of every 5 children in the U.S. is obese. Diabetes, high cholesterol, obesity, but it's a concern for everyone everywhere. So how do we, as health professionals, sort out the benefits and the pitfalls of the media's professional campaigns? You know, we're obligated to give the best educational advice possible, and I hope this information will help you do just that. Let's take a look at some of the diets that we know that are out there, and then we'll talk about if these do provide what the body needs. So, you know, there's the Body for Life, for instance. You know, it's been one of the top-selling diets, and of course, it's been very, very good for some people. There are some of them are pretty funny when you think about it. There's so many that we couldn't list them all here. I like this one, the Sun Sign Diet, for anybody that's an astrologer. Or, you know, there's the Drinking Man's Diet or the Champagne Diet for anybody that wants a drink. So when you think about it, there's some interesting diets out there. And somebody somewhere is getting some use out of it. But, you know, it just depends on if it's giving your body what that body requires. So some of the things that we're going to look at today, just so that you'll be in complete understanding of where I'm at, and we can agree, is what are the cellular requirements for health and wellness? What are those cellular requirements? And what is the nutritional value of these popular fad diets? And what role do enzymes play in ensuring nutrient acquisition from any healthy diet? Sometimes people don't really, they think about diet as a word that's negative, but I want you to think about what the word diet really means. It comes from the Greek dieton, which means to decide or how to lead one's life. The American Heritage Dictionary says the diet is the usual food and drink of a person or an animal, daily substance. And from modern science, which demonstrates the impact of diet and nutrition on our overall health, to the ancient Greeks, from whom our language is derived, it's clear that dietary choices play an essential role in the quality of the lives that we lead. So to take the word diet and put it in its right role, I think, is very important for us here. I have a statement that Dr. Dick Cooey from Baylor University made. Simply stated, nutrition is the body's ability to consume the 45 known nutrients in their proper amounts, digest these nutrients, absorb these nutrients, carry these nutrients into the cells, metabolize these nutrients, and eliminate the waste without getting fat or diseased. I think that is saying a great deal, and that is truly what we need to look at. We need to look at the cell. Are we getting the cell what it needs for cellular vitality? And so we have to look at what wellness includes, and it's the ability to maintain homeostasis, that perfect balance that our body has to have. It does everything to stay there, acquire and utilize nutrients as needed, renew and repair itself, and detect a need and mount an appropriate immune response. So good nutrition is cellular nutrition. And we're now on page 3, if you're following. And so let's talk about the diets that are out there and if they meet the body's nutrient requirements. Now, these requirements include proteins, carbohydrates, lipids and fats, water, vitamins and minerals. And I think you all know that. But along with approximately about 1,300 enzymes in each cell of our body. And some of us have 100 trillion cells or more in our body. And when these needs are met at a cellular level, then that is the right diet for you. Now let's talk about these different foods. And not to bore you, but we need to be able to agree that this is what the human body, if it's absolutely in good health, what it's going to require to be able to live. So there's 21 amino acids in the human body. That's our proteins. Now, 12 of these amino acids are what we call non-essential. It means that the body will have them synthesized by dietary nutrients. But 9 amino acids are essential. It means that they have to be supplied directly through the food that we take. They cannot be synthesized by the body. And even children need 10 amino acids. So gone is our 9 amino acids. We know the requirements are even greater. Now, protein. We know that this is true, that the body needs it. We've just talked about it. How much? Well, the average daily protein needs for, and get this, a healthy individual. This is someone that's absolutely healthy. And say they weigh about 150 pounds. Then they only need about 8 ounces of protein a day. But if that person has a problem digesting protein, or if they're going through some kind of a repair, they just had surgery or they've had an injury, then they needed more. For instance, that same 150-pound person would possibly need now 10 to 12 ounces of protein a day. So you have to remember, not everyone has a perfect digestion system to take care of these proteins, and so we need protein, but some of us may need more than others. Now, dietary intake of protein is necessary for our health. We know that. And we also know that protein cannot be stored in our body. The other foods can be stored. Protein cannot. Cell walls, membranes, connective tissue, muscles, blood plasma, metabolic enzymes, and hormones, they're all mostly protein. Protein is necessary for tissue repair, regeneration, and healing. So the constant renewal of our muscles, organs, tissues, and bones has to be maintained. And every molecule is either made up of proteins or proteins are involved in that formation. So each of you listening make billions of cells every second of your life. So protein is important. What if we don't eat enough or we can't break it down correctly? Then there's a deficiency. And any protein deficiency will undermine immunity and promote various onset of diseases. Inadequate protein intake or poor digestion of that protein can result in catabolism. That means we begin to break down our muscle, bone, tissue, connective tissue to supply the amino acids needed for the body for life. So in other words, the body, if it's needed, the protein is needed by the body, it will break itself down to get it. And that's called catabolism. Now, what do the symptoms look like? Well, weakened immune system, eczema, you know, the various skin disorders that you can see, dementia, you know, mental fog, going into a room and forgetting why you went in there. I'm sure some of you feel that way sometimes. Accelerated aging, no one wants that. And neurotransmitter imbalance, that's our brain chemistry. And you know, every hormone that is protein derived will be imbalanced. And so, you know, women, think about this. We don't just make our hormones from fatty substances, but we also make them from protein. And I'm thinking of possibly thyroid or thyroxine. If you're following, we're now on page 5. Protein excess. Well, a dietary food composition should not be compromised to the point where the proteins become the main body energy source. In other words, we don't want to have too much protein because the body has to deal with that as well. And protein intake that's beyond anything required by the body for its optimal metabolic capacity will challenge and undermine our health. Now, what does that look like? Well, the symptoms would be ketosis if it's prolonged, gout. How many of your patients have gout or kidney stones from uric acid? Constipation. Edema, excessive protein, will hold various fluid on the body. In fact, they say it holds more fluid on the body than salt. High dopamine levels. Well, it creates an aggressive behavior. Remember, all of our brain chemicals are going to come from the food that we take in and that we can break down. Well, this brings us to carbohydrates. That's a cell requirement. And glucose is the body's main energy source. Carbohydrates break down to glucose. And glucose is also the brain's preferred energy source. Glucose and other monosaccharides are essential components of many molecules, including structural molecules, enzymes, hormones, receptors, etc. So every biochemical reaction in the body requires energy or fuel. Now, if we have a deficiency in carbohydrates, then we have an inadequate acquisition in the carbohydrate nutrition, and this will impair vital energy supplies to the body, the ability to synthesize vital molecules, the health of vital organs such as the brain, and of course, bowel regularity. If we have the deficiency, it shows up as physical and brain fatigue, blood sugar imbalances, poor concentration, and compromised cellular energy and function. That's the mitochondrial function that takes place in the cell. Now, if we have an excess glucose, will be converted to body fat. And excess glucose can result in insulin resistance. This is why we see so many people that are wondering if maybe they don't have diabetes or diabetes symptoms. Excess glucose may result in protein glycation. Now, this is the excess glucose that's bound to the proteins in the blood. Now, they'll show up as symptoms, and these symptoms can be diabetes type 2, hypoglycemia, which I know you see a great deal of, candidiasis, colic. Our babies, when they're having trouble being able to break down some of the substances in the baby food, dysbiosis, which will lead to flatulence, headaches, of course, weight gain, and inflammation. Now, we know that they're important, but we can't have an imbalance. Once again, this perfect balance that goes on in the body. Now, let's go to lipids or to fats, because they are also a cell requirement. And lipids, or the fats, is a vital nutrient source. They contribute to the cell membranes. In fact, every cell has an outer layer of lipid. They're vital elements to our nerve molecules. And there are steroid hormones. That is, of course, what I say, the hormones that usually are sex hormones. And then fatty acids, which is the heart's preferred energy source. Fatty acids are ideal energy sources for long-term activity and endurance. So hormones, brain chemistry, cell membranes, and all of them depend on a good source of fatty acids. And remember again, lipids in our diet is just simply not an option. if you have a deficiency in your lipids, then it's going to undermine cellular integrity, impair our cell membranes, decrease or impair our nervous system function, impair our hormonal balance, and of course lead deficiencies in fat-soluble vitamins, which will be A, D, E, and K. We are now on page 8. What are those symptoms? Well, it could be PMS, or cysts, lipomas, decrease in skin vitality. Remember that we're made up of protein and fat, so it's going to show up on our skin. And, of course, brain chemistry. One that comes to my mind is acetylcholine. You can have an acetylcholine imbalance, and that's the brain chemistry that helps us remember, so it's very important. And if we have an excess of lipids, then it can result in hormone imbalances again, because if you have too much of one hormone, then you're going to have an imbalance in others. We can have stress on the gallbladder and liver, where we'll start to have some nausea. Fatty deposits in our vital organs or joints. And, of course, obesity, because fats will be stored as fat very, very easily if the body doesn't use it. Now, excess lipids in the diet would result in, like we said, weight gain, but high triglycerides and cholesterol. And, by the way, this is a problem for everyone everywhere. The synthesis of harmful hormones. In other words, if we begin to produce too many hormones, then they can be converted into hormones we don't want to make. Gallstones, of course, you know, there'll be a stone maker. Or we can have liver stress. We can have kidney stones that would be made up of calcium oxalate. And, of course, heart disease and, once again, premature aging, acne, and arthritis. Now, let's go on to one more requirement for that cell, and that's water. Now, when you think about it, the human body is primarily made up of water, and all biochemical reactions, you know, including even our enzymatic reactions, require water. Daily water intake is essential to replace our water losses through the GI tract, the urinary system, sweat, and respiration. An inadequate water supply will undermine homeostasis, that beautiful balance that has to take place. It will accelerate the biological aging process once again, but more than that, it will truly threaten life itself. So we know that water is important. We have to drink enough. And when people say how much water is enough, it would depend on where you live, the time of the year, how much you sweat. But, you know, they say the average, which would be 8 glasses a day. You can also take your body weight and then break it down into like 150 pounds might need anything around 70 to 75 ounces of water. So we're talking that people should really drink enough water to meet their need. Now let's go to another requirement. That's our vitamins and our minerals. Now, vitamins and minerals are really important for cellular health, and they're important in many biochemical reactions as well. For instance, the lipid-soluble vitamins that we just mentioned before, A, D, E, and K, the water-soluble vitamins, which can include all the B vitamins, B1, B2, B6, the biotin, the folic acid, B12, and vitamin C. And then, of course, the minerals that are so important to our body. These are even the minerals that, you know, will also work with the enzymes to do many things. Calcium, zinc, magnesium, and, of course, there's potassium. These requirements that we're talking about are all important to every cell in our body. But let's talk about the enzymes. Remember, we talked about those 1,300 metabolic enzymes, or approximately that amount. Enzymes assist to hydrolyze the previous discussed nutrients that we just talked about, and those 1,300 metabolic enzymes that's required by every cell. Now, we know that there are many enzymes, but we're going to be talking right now about proteolytic enzymes. They hydrolyze proteins or break down proteins into amino acids. That will enhance the absorption and blood rheology and modulation of various mediators. Proteolytic enzymes are so very important to the system. And then, of course, we have the polysaccharolytic enzymes. Now, they hydrolyze or break down carbohydrates into glucose to ensure absorption and cellular bioavailability for its energy. Now, our lipolytic enzymes, They're the ones that break down the fats or hydrolyze the dietary fats to secure the optimum absorption of our fatty acids that's so very important to our body. Now we're at page 10. So in summary, every human being that walks on the face of this earth requires these vital nutrients with enzyme support to live a healthy and long life. Let's move on now. We've gone through everything we know that the human body requires if it's healthy. Remember, if it's not healthy, the requirements will even be greater. But let's talk about those diet groups that have brought us together today. You know, the ones that are among the most popular diets all fall into, believe it or not, four basic groups. And these four groups can be categorized as the high protein and the low carbohydrate. And what comes to my mind is Atkins, Protein Power, Air Force Diet, etc. And then the second would be a high carbohydrate, the opposite, and low protein. That brings to mind Pritikin, vegetarianism of any kind, the Ornish diet, and normally any diet that has low fat. Then we have the proportional food diets, which would be something like Weight Watchers or The Zone, which is very, very popular, and South Beach diet that has become very popular as recent. Exercise and muscle building is the fourth group to increase metabolism, and that would be like the Body for Life or Volumetrics or the Iron Man diet. So you'll see that they all fall within one of these groups. But then the question comes, again, are these diets meeting what we consider to be our cellular requirements? Well, what works for one just simply does not work for all. And most diets, in truth, are passing fads. Now, if they worked for everyone, we'd just stay on them indefinitely, and we wouldn't have to look anywhere for another diet. And some of these diets have been fairly successful. So let's talk about why some of the diets tend to be fairly successful. Let's take a look at the first one, which would be high protein, low carbohydrate. Now the theory is a low carb diet, which allows you to eat virtually unlimited amounts of protein-based foods. And that would be anything like meats and cheeses, but severely limits the amount of carbs you can eat at each meal. Now, you know, when you think of the Atkins diet, you know, he works on the assumption that true fat loss is best achieved when people severely limit the amount of carbohydrates they consume. In other words, you could eat as much protein as you want during the day, and the first 2 weeks they ask you to eat mostly protein so that you can recognize how many carbs you really do eat. But in 2 weeks they ask you to put back carbohydrates in the way of, say, salads and fruits and vegetables. And some people won't do it. They'll abuse it, and then they'll run into some problems. But these diets all advertise, you know, quick weight loss because basically people will begin to lose weight on them. But let's talk about why they are able to lose weight so easily. Quick weight loss is primarily due to the glycogen, sodium, and lean muscle depletion. In other words, they're not eating enough carbohydrates. And so, to be able to have something to burn for energy, the body will use its fat deposits. But if they haven't changed things around and started eating carbohydrates after that 2 weeks or 3 weeks span, they begin to actually break down their lean muscle because they need to use the protein to be able to burn for energy. So they work on the theory that reduced carbohydrate intake results in less glucose for fuel, which forces the body to use its fat and protein for energy. Now this would be good for a short time, but not for a long time period. That's why they must add back in their carbohydrates. Now many have successfully lost weight, however maintaining it for a long period of time is difficult. And the studies that they've done show that short term, say about 6 months, can damage the kidneys in the ketonic state. And that's because they never did add back their carbohydrates. And so this damage to the kidneys hasn't really been determined yet. But they went on to find out in this 6 month study that the lower cholesterol and triglycerides that everybody was able to get a benefit from now no longer stayed reduced longer than, say, 6 months. So for a long period or for a lifestyle, it doesn't always work for everyone. However, this particular diet, or similar to this diet, is very good for what we call our para body types. And for those of you that have heard me teach biochemical individualism, it's body typing, and we're talking about the individuals that do not have a good muscle mass, and they gain weight evenly all over their body, and what puts weight on them is carbohydrates, because genetically they have an inability to break down certain carbohydrates. But whether you're on this diet for the fact that you've read the book or other people are losing weight, or your patient comes to you and says they want to be on it, we've decided to add some information for you so that you know what enzyme that you might need with these particular diets. And for this one, the high protein and low carb, we suggest that at each meal that the person eats, they should have some protease. Now, this might mean 1 TPP protease or 2-purzyme along with your digestive enzymes, like 2-TPP digest, or it could be 3-digestzyme and 1-lipozyme. You can see there's a lot of enzymes here because we're trying to stay ahead of the waste. We're trying to keep the body from breaking itself down, and we want to make sure that they digest their food properly. Between meals, I would also suggest that they have at least 2 TPP protease, or 3-purzyme if you like. And it can be 3 to 4 times a day. It's totally up to you and depends on the person. But it could be like first thing in the morning, mid-afternoon, or before bed. Or you can do mid-morning, giving it 4 times. And then, of course, at bedtime, I always give them, along with their protease, the probiotic. And the 2-TPP probiotic would be very good for this, because you are imbalancing some of your good to bad ratio of bacteria in your body. So I think it'd be very important to do that. We are now on page 12. The high protein, low carbs nutritional support. Now, we've told you what they need to digest their food and to stay ahead of the waste and to keep them very healthy. But for some of them that have been on this diet for prolonged periods of time, they may need magnesium-potassium complex that we have, or the antioxidant complex, because they're not eating enough carbs. Inflammatory control is great, because a para body type or anybody that's doing this diet is going to have a great deal of inflammation going on in their system. Vitamin C is very nice. And our vitamin C tends to be very well balanced. It's slightly on the alkaline side, and it comes in a form that you make into a drink. So it can be very beneficial for you. Superzyme. Now, superzyme is going to give you back your nutrients, because now you're not getting so many of your nutrients from your plant-based foods. And then, of course, kidney drainage. You can just simply add it to the water that you're drinking for the day. And by the way, you want to drink lots of water on this particular diet. And also, when you start eating, say, carbohydrates and start blocking out some of your you start eating proteins, and start breaking out some of your carbohydrates, you don't have any fiber. And so those people will sometimes become constipated. So there's also releasezyme if you just want to add that to it. Now, we'll move on to the next one. Now, this one is another type that I teach, and it's also a high carbohydrate, low protein. Now, the theory for this one is that it's more easily digested in the system. It's higher in antioxidants because of all the plant food. You'd have higher energy flow, and it's more alkalizing for the body. And so this one, of course, people will have a diet. They'll will lose some weight, but a low protein diet is a problem with this if they go too low, because it results in the protein loss that we just talked about. The body will pull that protein that it needs when it needs it, if you're not ingesting it from your muscle, bones, tendons, tissue. And possibly there's also urinary loss of your electrolytes, such as your potassium, so you want to watch that very closely. And since the loss of protein tissue is mostly water, it seems like they have fat loss that happens very, very quickly. But when the normal diet is resumed, when they go back to eating like whatever it is they normally did before, the protein tissue is back, but, with it comes the weight. Because once again, remember, where protein is, there will also be fluids. Now, in this diet, the upside is it does provide your antioxidants in fruits and vegetables, and the fiber will help with constipation, so it isn't like the first diet. But you might lack an iron or zinc or B12, because the B12 especially, and iron, is going to come from animal. You're going to need essential fatty acids. And it lacks, enough protein to build your white blood cells if you don't do this in a good balance. And it can create dysbiosis for some people. That's the imbalance of the gut flora we talked about a moment ago. But this one can be quite severe, like irritable bowel that you've heard of, and it can produce excessive gas. So we have some ideas for you if your person's going to be on this particular diet. You know, with meals, we suggest that you take 2-TPP Digest. And the truth is, I prefer the Digest, the 2-TPP Digest for this, because they're so high in the lactase and the phytases. Digestzyme has a very good balance of the polysaccharidic enzymes as well, and you can do either or. But for the phytase, I prefer the TPP Digest for me personally. Now, between meals, protease for inflammation again, or inflammatory control if you want to. That would look like 2 protease 3 times a day for cleanup. But you'll notice here I've added a carbo. Now, carbo, the TPP carbo, is a product that has the polysaccharidic enzyme. It has everything like for Beano that Beano has. And it has everything that you need to break down carbohydrates. And you say, well, why don't I take it at the meal? Because some people need a cleanup. And so this is kind of a cleanup for you. Carbo will help you get rid of your excessive gas as well. So it works as well sometimes for some people, especially on this diet, as Gastrozyme. And at bedtime, once again, your good probiotic, which is very, very important. Now, you have support products for this type. And my favorite is Masterzyme, because you're not getting enough of the proteins that isn't taking care of a lot of your endocrine system. But we have adrenal support or thyroid support, Prostatezyme. Man or woman can take this. Remember, it's an endocrine support product that's made up of herbs and enzymes. The rest of them will have animal in it. We have an enzyme-enriched nutrient drink. It's a great drink that we've put together that help give back your body the electrolytes and everything that you need, and has some protein in it. And so you can use it as a drink, not in place of food, but along with or in between. Repairzyme, remember, for the tissue, because you might be breaking yourself down. It's also good to support your liver if you can. Take only one, about one the first day with meals, and then you can add, two to one for 2 meals a day, and that will usually take care of it. Make sure you take it with meals. We have the yeast fungal, because these people tend to have candidiasis many times if they're not doing their diet correctly. So I would say that you would also take this with meal times. You don't have to go quite as slow with this, but you should always take it with meals. So it's a very, very good support product. Now, we're going to move on to the third. This is the proportional food diet. Now, the theory is to eat carbohydrates, proteins, and fats in balanced portions. And what this does is also it limits your caloric intake to promote metabolism. So basically, they're trying to do a metabolism thing as well by taking down the calories and then having you eat at certain times. So lowering the caloric intake, of course, is going to be good for a logical weight loss program. But the cellular requirements can be met if you really plan, the proper food items correctly. It's a difficult diet for compliance because it usually means that they have to measure, weigh, and they have to follow charts. But it does work, like Weight Watchers has been around for many, many years. And dependent on the person willing to educate themselves on the different food groups and their caloric content, then, it can be okay. But they do have to educate themselves. And that's why so many of the diets have a good deal of information. We're now on page 14. Well, we're going to have, again, digestive enzyme needs for this. You're going to say some of these are fairly similar. They are and they're not, because this particular one, they're going to be doing all kinds of snacking in between. So you've got to take enzymes with snacks. So with meals, you're going to take 2-TPP Digest or 3-4 Digestzyme, and you're also going to have to take it with a snack. So if you're doing a snack, you might take 1 Digest or 2 Digestzymes, because once again, they're balancing everything. You're getting protein, you're getting fat, and you're getting carb at the meal. And then you're going to want to take between meals for immune support, the protease, again, 2 or 3 purezyme, 3 times a day. You notice I'm saying 3 times a day or 4 times a day. Well, if these people are trying to lose weight and they're drinking their water like they should, then they're going to be going through a somewhat of a detoxification. Now, not one that they should see or feel, but one that should feel really good to them, and you want to stay ahead of the waste by giving them the proteases. And then, of course, the probiotics at night. Once again, you know, everybody's going to be challenged to a certain degree with a change when you start to go on a diet, and you really need to support the gut. Now, the support products for this group would be Gastro or Gastrozyme. That's an intestinal support we were talking about even in the last group. But this one will have somewhat explosive gas at particular times, especially from the foods they eat between meals. So they might want to take like a digest at the first of the meal and a Gastro at the end. And also there's Lipo or Balanzyme Plus. Now, these both have chromium, and they both have help for weight loss. In fact, they've got different herbs in there that will help you kill off a little bit of your appetite, shall we say, and be able to having the extra lipases to be able to burn off somewhat. Supercellzyme, again, a very good nutrient support, because any change in our body is going to have requirements for the body. Now, to our fourth. Oh, by the way, that last one tends to be one that we use a lot for what we would call our estro-testro types. They're the types that need to eat in balance, and they're the hormonal people. So anyways, that one works well for them, if it's done well. Once again, compliance is everything. Now we'll move into the fourth. Like I said, the muscle building for metabolism. Now the theory behind these diets and exercise programs are to increase the muscle mass, which indeed turns around, increases metabolism, and then, of course, you strengthen your whole body. The obvious benefit is to have a strong body, which promotes health and supports organs, tissue, and your bone structure. So many people will get on these, and they'll start working out, and they'll feel much better, and, you know, they'll have a little bit of aching. But remember, if you have aching, we have enzymes for you. We'll be telling them about just a moment. But this diet can actually create higher energy and endurance because exercise is a good fat and carb burning system, because your metabolism will be up. Hence the reason for eating 6 small meals a day, which these people will tell you about, and also exercising, because you keep your metabolism up. Now, if you're working out, you're feeling better about yourself, and so you can have higher confidence levels. So this is a diet, this is diet grouping that works for that. But if you don't make sure you're doing it right and you don't get your nutrient sources, you, like anybody else, can have your catabolism occur, which means you'll start to break yourself down. So these people tend to eat just protein substitutes, not real food. You know, they drink meals, and they eat the bars, and then they have some real digestive disorders that comes out of this. But once again, it's because they're abusing the diet. So what enzymes would we use? Well, with the meals, we'll want the digest. So 2 TPP digest, or maybe 4 for this group, Digestzyme. And between the meals, because they're snacking so much, we suggest the digestive enzymes again, plus the protease. Now, when I say protease for this group, you know, they really need a lot of protease. So it can be first thing in the morning, mid-morning, mid-afternoon, before bed, because once again, they're working out, they're damaging their muscles, and so they need to repair. And then, of course, 2 probiotics, again at night. Remember, these people are not eating real food sometimes, or they're eating a lot of protein. Now, here is the support products for anybody that works out a great deal. Sportzyme is one that we have to assist you to be able to just go into the gym and work out and not feel so tired while you're doing it. I know that this has really helped me a great deal. It increases endurance. We have several sports people that are quite famous that take our products, and they tell us how wonderful that this particular product has been for them. It doesn't stimulate. It helps you be able to make that mitochondria we were talking about for the cell. And then inflammatory control and repair zyme. Remember, I said you're tearing down your muscles, so you must repair. And so many people that work out love these products because they can do it. They repair quickly. They feel better. They don't have that soreness that goes along with it. And I might just mention, inflammatory control and repair zyme is used very highly by doctors that are surgeons, or you know, any of the ones that are going to have to be doing some kind of surgery, because people will repair so well right afterwards. And then, of course, you need your nutrient support, because more than likely these people aren't getting a lot of nutrients. So remember, one more time, what the cell needs. And the cell needs do not change just because our diet does. So we need carbohydrates, we need proteins, fats, water, and exercise on a daily basis. And then do not ever forget the essential enzymes that are required for our health. Now, I think that I've gotten to the point where we can finally look back and say that we've looked at the different programs that are out there. And really, if you look at them, then you just take you finish the book, you put it down, and you ask, what grouping does this fall into? You'll follow that there is a grouping. There are good enzymes for that. And it tends to fit a lot of our types. When I talked about the vegetarian or the high carbohydrate, I forgot to mention that that's one that we find that our supras do very, very well on. You know, supras have a problem breaking down proteins, and so they should be eating more carbohydrates. I can't tell you how many supras I meet that say, no, I'm a meat and potato guy, and potatoes is about as much as they get for a vegetable. So I just wanted to remind you that this is so very important. And our children, think about our children in this, because our children, many of them do not even want to eat vegetables unless they're fried, and that would be like a fried potato. So, you know, we have to stop and think. We have to use good common sense that we must do something for our patients with as much integrity and with as much truth as possible. I want to remind you that at any given time here in our society, that about 27% of our men are on a diet of some kind. But 46% of our women are also dieting. But here's the real scary one to me anyways. 75% are teenage girls that are on some type of diet. And I know you don't want to hear this, because so many know this is true, but we like to think that there's a magic pill or there's a way that we can create something to happen. The only magic pill I can tell you about is enzymes. But I can also say to you that if we have obesity, there's three causes. And if we want to lose weight, there's only three ways to do it. And first of all, is if you're going to want to gain weight, you want to increase your calorie intake. You want to stop doing too much activity, and then you probably will gain weight. And the reasons why we do is because we do eat too much, we don't exercise, and there's also a genetic disposition that comes into place, and that's why we do the biochemical individualism. By the way, we're having it at our seminar that's coming up very soon, so you might want to call the office to come to the seminar, where we'll be going in far more detailed information, and you'll be hearing us teach on the different things that will keep your patients healthy, and especially you, alive. Now, the ways to lose weight, of course, would be to decrease the calories, increase the activity, and then eat according to our genetics, which is so important. What foods are best for you? What diet is best for you? I just wonder. Thank you so much for being with us today at our teleconference. And please remember to fill out your evaluation form. We want to hear from you. We want to make sure that all your questions are answered, so that when we do the very ones that you want to hear about. And I appreciate you so much. Thank you so much for being with us.